Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters, we're back. Oh, thank the Most High indeed that we're back again for another episode, another very blessed and precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edom Yah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful. Yes, very thankful to the Most High for every ear he brings near. I'm thankful, surely, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, that I have for him some very, very important things for him that I must do. He told me because of what I must do, he said to me that surely I would accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, told me I would have his protection, his guidance. For that, I am indeed utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, he has told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, he has told me that I must tell you things. The men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. Again, I thank the Most High for every ear. Yes, for every ear he brings near. I thank the Most High. opportunity to speak these words. For indeed, they are unto the awakening, the reconciliation, the minds of the people. I welcome you to the show. As Shavuot feast, some call Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, quickly approaches, I've noticed of late in particular, Most High has been popping my mind steadily of late with some very fundamental information that I know is utmost necessary for the mind and heart to even prepare itself to receive the Holy Spirit. What's necessary for the mind to even begin to activate. I know what it means, but just how necessary it is to activate the power of that Spirit. Under what purpose? In the book of Yohanan, John, Messiah said, 14th chapter, Spirit of truth, the worldly will not receive. You need to understand what that means. 17th chapter, 9th verse, said, I make no request for the world, for those that God has given him. What does that mean? The book of Jacob said, if man is double-minded after the provocations of the nations, not discerning a need, in his vow unto the Most High to seek what is a perfect work for him, perfect work unto Yah, that soul being double-minded said, let not think he receive anything from him. Many scriptures, my brothers and sisters, relates the ultimate covenant. The Most High's promise, the day will come. His word shall not depart from the mouth of his people, nor from the mouth of his descendants. His people's descendants, henceforth even forever. It was always true, my brothers and sisters, that an oath unto the Most High always an oath. Man should seek to be consistent unto him. Not vacillating, but consistent, my brothers and sisters, growing in the knowledge and the grace of Yah. Yet today, my brothers and sisters, many have hardly understood what the grace of Yah really truly is. All men are false doctrine regarding the grace, the favor of Yah. All manner of false doctrine has been taught. It has left so many souls quite vulnerable. In so many ways, my brothers and sisters, very much so inclined, while they didn't understand certain truths, to fall away. Much scripture, my brothers and sisters, tells us again and again that our progress in the Most High must be motivated by love. Must be motivated by an allegiance unto the manifestation of a people as a collective brought unto the will of the One Most High. Think about it, my brothers and sisters. They talked about, in the scriptures, they talk about the dispensation. First day, the scriptures talk about the dispensation of grace. One particular scripture where that's related is Ephesians 3. And it absolutely speaks without question that the dispensation of grace, dispensation of favor, the Most High, is that the nations might be partakers with Israel in that ancient understanding and covenant often which the Most High gave to the ancient fathers. We all must comprehend the height, depth, and breadth, the one understanding, what indeed it is to love and trust and honor. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Even to the full measure and stature of Messiah himself. Meaning that if we are wise, we will understand something else. So the dawn of human fall, my brothers and sisters, we need to stop and consider what has been going on. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, since the dawn of the fall? Every diverse institutionality of man has in some way been a departure, even created obstacle against men discerning what is from the beginning. For if that were not so, if the institutions of man would have been open doors to seeing what is from the beginning, these multitude divisions simply wouldn't exist. Man being reawakened by a kind of revolution would return to the way that Yah declared from the beginning. And there would only be oneness if these institutions respond after the Holy Spirit, after the pure testimony of the Most High. Meaning that since the dawn of human fall, only those few truly born again of the Spirit, fully led by the Spirit, have overcome the undisciplined nature of the flesh. Scripture tells us in the book of Romans, we walk after the flesh, undisciplined nature of the flesh. We die, but if we subdue the flesh by the Spirit, we live. That's always been true. After the flesh, man's undisciplined thoughts cannot be counted truly at one with the word, the name, the authority of the One Most High. What I want you to consider then, my brothers and sisters, how shall men say they are forgiven where there's been no atonement? Listen to me. Atonement, at-one-ment. We see a world divided, as I speak so many times in this show, 45,000 denominations and counting, 280 nations and counting. And men have dared to say that all these differences are the result of the work, the gift of the Holy Spirit, man being led by that one Spirit. How many times, my brothers and sisters, has it been in the course of history that men have called upon the holy name or what they thought was holiness, but only, my brothers and sisters, to be constrained after their own vanities by devilish, deviant misrepresentations. How many times, my brothers and sisters? Think about it. In this world today, if we are wise, the very fact that we see so many contradictions is evidence of the world falling from the grace, favor, absolute favor and discipline of the Most High. Understand, the scripture says, all I love, he chastens, he disciplines those who are, that they may make them, how about that he may, might make them acceptable unto himself. One scripture in the book of Hebrews says, in effect, that a people that don't know his ways shall not enter into his rest. You ever stop to consider that means that the grace of the Most High awakens the mind of men? It says every good and gift, every good and perfect gift, the word for gift and grace, mercy, from the Most High declares discipline from him that man might be made worthy and acceptable unto what was already established from the very foundation, even before the foundation of the world. What am I talking about? Before this world was made, Most High already had a dominion in the kingdom. He never said one time that acceptable unto his name would be that which would not conform to his will or his ways. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Most High loves, he chastens. Love, favor, mercy upon. He chastens, he disciplines. The Most High is not going to deny his name. He's not going to deny his will. He's not going to rob himself short of what he has always from this earth intended to receive. So he disciplines every son whom he accepts. He accepts to make them acceptable. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke, I chasten. So he said, be zealous, therefore, diligent even, and repent. Return to him. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Him that overcomes. Overcomes what? How about the many mass misrepresentation that's where the claim to speak after holiness? For my brothers and sisters being both partial and perverse in so many ways have acted as obstacles. Even sources after which men have walked after foolish pride, not to seek the greater truth. My brothers and sisters, a multitude of contradictions in the world, impure and imperfect standards, whereby men oftentimes in their pride and allegiances are vowed to hold steadfast to various insanities, instabilities, partialities, and perversions. My brothers and sisters, no such oath, double-minded oath as this, is worthy under the kingdom of the One Most High. In fact, Scripture says those who enter his kingdom will be they who transcend their allegiances to all the nations. That's what the scriptures really mean when he talks about men who wash their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. For Most High has always told me that it was tribulation, trouble, separation, division, damnation. Whenever man is subject to any conscience less than his own. For my brothers and sisters, not the will of another or the purposes of another that shall find any man acceptable unto his kingdom. My brothers and sisters, man, to be acceptable unto Yah, must awaken to the purity of what is divine will and synchronicity, oneness, reconciliation, and the pure and perfect will of Yah is the only offering the Most High will accept. That offering must be peace. He said his people must speak no lies, no false doctrine. Everybody's speaking different. You sit back and say that nobody's lying. Speaking something different means nothing's missing. Nothing's been perverted in terms of what way people have given their allegiances. Think about it again. Hear my brothers and sisters, understand what I mean. I say this again. Messiah said you must be born again. Meaning man beyond his flesh must be disciplined after the spirit before he's conformed to the will of Yah. Man was not created polluted in his heart and his mind and his thoughts. But the heart, mind, and thoughts of man must be purged. Reconciled after the will of one. For on this earth there can be peace and a people true to the holy name. So it's time we understand. Well, brothers and sisters, on last evening I went through quite a bit of a topic about the idea about, you know, relating again what truly is the grace of Yah, because a lot of false doctrine has been taught. So much so that men have thought themselves under grace simply because they didn't hear, amazingly, did not hear from the Most High. One scripture says, have I been silent so long that you do not revere me? How should men know to respect Yah as he is till they have discerned his will? How should men say that they have had the discipline of the Most High with so many teachings, so many differing forms of doctrine? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that 2 Thessalonians talks about man's falling away from faith. And falling away from faith after the intrusions of the principalities and powers, powers of perdition. What men have come to believe, I'm going to tell you now, has not really been a faith at all. It's just been the contrivances of men. Hear me. After the intrusions of the principalities and powers, as Colossians 2 and 8 warns, but where does any man beguile after the principalities of this world? And not after the Messiah. Say, watch out, lest any man rob you. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, even an opportunity unto life. Most I never said that people could, they just simply just claim to be teaching you after his authority. Could teach you whatever they will just because you call upon a name. And you be made true to him. Not so, my brothers and sisters. Far beyond men making an oath unto the Most High after the dictates of men. Scripture speaks about how finally the day will come. 26th chapter of Isaiah. Many will say, other lords. We're making mission. Other lords have had dominion over them in this world. But now by Yah and him only will we make mention of his name. Many have called upon the name of the Most High, my brothers and sisters. But it has not been after the will of Yah. The scripture says all shall call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. But did they not understand that scripture? It's talking about those who call upon the name of him whom the Most High said he would send. It says all who call upon the name of the Most High shall be delivered. And in Jerusalem shall be deliverance unto the remnant whom the Most High has called. Compare that scripture to the 50th chapter of Isaiah. 10 through 11 in particular. Whoever among you would serve the Most High and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord. This is what they put down in your King James Version. And be saved by his Elohim. How about the discipline unto divine conscience that has been taught by him who the scripture said would come forth in Isaiah 50 saying, morning by morning has the Most High caused my ear to hear the teaching. And I'm not turned back the rebellious way. That I should know how to declare a word to a people whose, let's just say, spiritual conscience has been wearied. Who is that speaking about, my brothers and sisters? Who is that speaking about? Scripture in Isaiah 49 says he would come forth saying, listen to me, O isles, and listen to me, O you isles, and hearken to me, O you nations. For because the Most High is calling from the womb, and from the body of my mothers he made mention of my name, to bring his people back to him. Let me tell you something. As long as your sense of purpose is dictated after the ideals of another, that is separation from Yah. In fact, my brothers and sisters, it's sin. It's deviation and departure from his purpose, and mayhaps never to find it. Blessed are those, my brothers and sisters, who hold to the ancient expectation, even know what it is. The ancient expectation, the scripture said in advance, the prophet said in advance, that your rulers will never tell you. Like the Most High told me directly, he said to me that he sends prophets to speak with the world, what others would not, what your pastors wouldn't preach, your rulers, your kings, your priests, your rabbis, your elders, folks who dare to call themselves reverend, would not preach. He sends prophets to speak. And if you look at Isaiah 41, it talks about how Messiah will come forth saying to all your rulers, bring near all your so-called strong arguments. In so many ways, he would prove men's perceptions, supposedly of godliness, to be so far from it, in fact, totally an abomination, showing even that all those who will continue to follow after such are misformed, not after his creating, not after the molding of his hands, of a heart, a mind, a soul. Scripture talks about one coming forth who has been concealed from ordinary carnal mind, who comes suddenly like the rising sun. They put down north and rising the sun in the King James Version, but the word sophon there means one who is hid. And it says from north and the rising of the sun. Well, many texts talk about that one, like for instance Malachi, we're going to get to that shortly. Talk about one who comes suddenly. Word for suddenly is unexpectedly. But tell you something, they had in the daytime, they had, maybe you can say they had timepieces. Okay? They had sundials. And there's ancient record that sundials did exist. And have existed for a very, very long time. However, in the night, does the sundial work? Let's step one step further. Some people might talk about hourglasses. Go back and look at the history. Someone thought hourglasses have been around for a long time. Evidence in terms of what's been found say the hourglasses might not have come into existence even until around the 10th century, maybe later. So what would man have had to let him know that the sun was about to arise? Not much by comparison, my brothers and sisters. Not much by comparison. So when the sun suddenly burst forth to reveal the light the world had obscured, to show forth the light, my brothers and sisters, that many before did not or would not see, to cast aside all the darkness. To many it was a sudden and unexpected thing. Well, my brothers and sisters, it's an amazing thing to stop even and consider that the scripture says, for instance, in the book of Malachi, it says, the Lord whom you see shall suddenly, how about unexpectedly appear, come into his temple to reprove the priests. And finally, my brothers and sisters, to restore righteousness as of old in former years. You think your rulers wanted you to know that Messiah's coming would expose them all in their unrighteousness? You need to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Scriptures talk about that's the one who will show a way, the way again to return unto Yah. Many say they keep his ordinances, but everybody says they keep them after their own ideals and doctrines, denominations and nations. Do we really believe that's keeping the law of Moshe? When we look around, the law of the Most High gave Moshe, and we see people all seeking to keep it differently. Is that lawful? Is that the peace? Is that being led by His Spirit? The Most High told me if I could believe that all these contradictions are a work of His Spirit, that I cannot be a disciple unto Him. My brothers and sisters, if we can look around and see a multitude of contentions and believe that that's the work of the Spirit, that we see all these differences, what do we have to discipline us? It means we don't have any, at that point, means we don't have any expectation of any absolute. Romans 9:26 talks about man having the law but not seeking about faith. I would tell you, my brothers and sisters, that means man has to have the written word and not seeking about faith, knowing that there's an absolute. And only that which is absolute will survive, meaning that man should seek the wisdom of the Most High beyond all the contradictions of man. Think about it. In the book of Jacob, it talks about we're scattered among the nations, among a multitude of contradictions. Hey, we must seek the Most High and His will beyond all debate and doubt, beyond all mockeries or misrepresentations. Else there, what for what reason would the Most High grant his spirit at all? If at the end of the day, man is only going to be pronated to maintain the corruptions and the misallegiances, which would never be fully appeasing unto one Most High. What I want to talk about tonight, my brothers and sisters, we have to realize that a love for the seeking to for absolution is the key. Like I said, Most High forsworn for himself a people under the remembrance of his name. But so many think about grace in context, oh, he's just going to forgive my sins, going to forgive my offenses. Wow. What about the idea that he said he who curses Israel should be accursed, he who blesses Israel should be blessed? What about if your misrepresentation causes many to go astray? What about mishandling of a word causes men to never know the gospel, that they remain constantly lost? Shouldn't it be love, my brothers and sisters, for the cause of Yah that brings a man to a state to be worthy of love from Yah? Think about it. Scripture says, Yah so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish. Wow. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of a people? The Most High said he will grant peace. He cannot, I repeat, he cannot preserve the souls of those who are constantly resisting as a bad example. Isaiah 59 speaks of it pretty plainly. It says he won recompense against his enemies. Recompense against all those who, whenever the Most High would seek to awaken a soul, the system we live in would seek to make them a prey, seek to destroy them before they ever get a chance to mature, seek to deceive them before they ever get a chance to truly discern what is honorable for the one Most High. Dispensational grace talks about all the nations being offered an opportunity to become partakers with Israel. Takes up the same conscience, same covenant, one peace, that which Yah has foreordained, beginning of the world, before the beginning of the world even. Have the nations sought to repent and be converted unto that glory, that honor? Or have men presupposed, or let's just say, refused to know, after a multitude of differences, their damnable state, fallen state, not true to the word that is from the beginning unto life? Or have men, my brothers and sisters, been tricked by every new so-called inaugurator? I said tricked by every so-called founding father, as if to believe that every one of these that came up was a savior, as if every one of them declared the standard by which the Most High would be pleased, as if every one of them declared the standard, my brothers and sisters, by which the rest of the world to conform. Or they laid that trick on the mind of many. But my brothers and sisters, the early church knew far better. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? The early church knew far better and had an expectation concerning what would be the return of man after the ultimate favor, grace, mercy, oneness, at oneness, ultimate forgiveness in the Most High. They had a far greater expectation than what the nation's been so quickly and easily beguiled to call wisdom. It's not possible, my brothers and sisters, for every one of thousands of different leaderships saying something different to be salvation, when salvation itself means to be made whole unto the will of one. Purity and completion offers one choice. How have men been so easily deceived to accept these contradictions, this hypocrisy, as if it were the work of the Most High? You ever stop to consider how insulting that is? Got some things to talk to you tonight about. For the grace of Yah, my brothers and sisters, is the opportunity to be made acceptable unto an already extant holy collective in the name of the Most High. A peaceful coexistence with Yah will defend, and in its full restoration will not allow it ever again to be profaned. Nations being prideful of remaining after their multitude of Gentile alienations offered grace, opportunity to conform to that which the Most High, who made the earth, will conform the world unto. But nations have refused to become partakers, refused to become partakers with the patriarchal tribes of Israel, according to the initial covenant of the promise, and what makes Israel a commonwealth and the common expectation of his people. And yet men have said, still yet in their unbelief, they're counted faithful, steadfast, reasonable. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's time we see so much more clearly than this. I've said a lot about the grace of God, Yah truly is, in last evening's show. If you didn't hear it, please go back and listen to it again. Think about it. One scripture says, the secret things belong to the Most High, Deuteronomy 29:29. But those things which Yah has revealed belong to, they are an obligation for us, for our children. And if we preserve them, guard, defend, maintain, declare, what is the Shema? These things forever. But the scriptures tell us that in the last days, man will have to remember something. Meaning man has forgotten much. Until man is ready to admit that there's much that he has forgotten, my brothers and sisters, there's much that he will never be granted sufficient spirit to remember. And without that remembrance, my brothers and sisters, there is no atonement. Dare men say that totally unaware of what's acceptable unto the king, not knowing the ways of Yah, not knowing the difference between what is an asset to it and what is an offense, the man is still yet worthy to walk into that kingdom. Every man after his own, walking after the lack of discipline in his own heart. Let me tell you something, the Holy Spirit is given to discipline the thoughts of man. One scripture says, he that is born of Yah does not sin because the seed of Yah is in him. It means he has something to convict him against this error. Blessed are those who hear and heed the conscience the Most High would give. We talked much about the idea how the scripture says it's far better to trust in Yah than to trust in princes. How is it men have believed that trust in a multitude of contentious rulers who themselves cannot agree or bring peace? And men subject to a multitude of differences have been the favor of Yah? The favor of Yah, the men have not known how to see beyond these multitude of obstacles that are the misimaginations of men? Oh, my brothers and sisters, let us discern the grace of Yah does not leave man subject to these diverse exploitations, the flaw, the false rule of man. I've said so many times about how the word for law that they have in the scriptures is pretty much consistently the word nomos, and the Greeks and Romans used that same word for both divine law and the rule of man. And the rulers actually went as far as to tell you that the law of the Most High, which will convert, which is the, you must convert into, to be acceptable unto the kingdom of Yah, because faith and whatever people want to believe certainly can't be. They didn't tell you that by the grace of Yah, man converted on offer an opportunity to conform to the, not just what is written on a printed page, but the very thoughts of the Most High, because before there were words, there was thoughts, my brothers and sisters. Everybody's interpretation of the law is not lawful. Everyone is not led by the Spirit to understand the high implications. The Most High told me to know what is said and not know why it is said is to miss the point. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to relate this point. I want you to think about something. The book of Jude and the book of Malachi, in particular, I could go through so much other scripture in the book of Isaiah. I've talked about it so many times. The book of Jude, the book of Isaiah in particular, and pretty much very radically simply, for those who are willing to see it, actually tell us that man is obviously fallen from the grace of Yah, since the Holy Spirit, listen to me now, the grace of the Holy Spirit brings all things to remembrance. All things the Most High said to remembrance. Oh, I got news for you. I know this for a fact. Before I started reading the Bible, there's a whole lot the Most High brought to remembrance by His Spirit. I finally started reading the Bible and was shocked to find out how much of what He had already told me and showed me in scrolls and dictated in my mind and drone through it all through the night. I was shocked to find out how much of what He had told me was already down the book. I know the Holy Spirit can bring to remembrance those things that, not just what's written in the book, my brothers and sisters, that people know, but so much of what folks have not known. I talked about that too many times in this show. But the scripture of the Holy Spirit, which is the spirit of grace, the gift from on high, that will conform the minds of men. Scripture says that spirit teaches all things, brings all things to remembrance, even those things that men will not speak. The Holy Spirit rebukes all sin. How about rebukes whatever is the result of a separation from the pure, perfect mind of the Most High? Rebukes every errant teaching and doctrine then, my brothers and sisters. Even declares to you what is to come. People have an awful lot of different concepts about what is the eventuality declared in the prophecies. You have a lot of different ideas about what is formation, what is foundation, what is expectation, as declared from the beginning. Because men have had very little concept of beginning or eventuality, so much error that we see in the world today, men have acted as if all these pluralities, that somehow these are acceptable as a foundation. In this generation, having forgotten so much, as if what men see and know in this generation, by and large, is sufficient, that if they conform to the best of it, they think they are saved, made whole, made one unto Yah, after what He declared from the beginning. My brothers and sisters, to even begin to imagine that that's the truth is entirely, completely, totally irrational. And the Most High, believe me, is looking for people who are willing to reason. Reason, my brothers and sisters, is true to all that He would bring again to consideration. And the question, my brothers and sisters, as to whether men will be kind of worthy to sit in the kingdom of the Most High that He will establish upon this earth, upon the thrones, sharing the throne of Him who sits upon the throne of David. Well, my brothers and sisters, whether or not men are found worthy to stand in that holy place is not going to be about people trying to preserve the vanities of man, but those who are reasonable. Because a great offense has been committed, my brothers and sisters, from the day man first turned away from Yah. And man is going to have to, given the opportunity, know what it is to turn back and not falter. My brothers and sisters, from the very beginning, Most High declared the way that man would finally be brought to return unto Yah. And the prophecies tell us in advance that men have forgotten it. Rulers will not speak of it. They haven't. Like I said, the Most High says it sends prophets, but others would not. Rulers will not want you to understand how one comes to reprove all. If they want to be the rulers over you, then they keep dominion over you. So the scriptures say in advance that the testimony of him for whom you should be waiting, would be hid from you by your leaders, even among churches, which basically means that what they have called churches today have not been churches by ancient definition at all. Check out my website, hiddengospel.com, Early Church Origin. Mutual expectation. Check out that article, my brothers and sisters. www.hiddengospel.com/early-church-origin. Concern, my brothers and sisters, what they've been hiding from you. I'd like to talk about it for a few seconds, and I'd like to say again, if I don't get a chance to reiterate much of what I spoke last night, please go back and listen to last night's show again, and listen to it collaboratively with what I'm going to show you in the scriptures. The type of thing, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has to reveal, because like he told me, to know what is said and not know why it is said is to miss the point. And so often, my brothers and sisters, much has been said because men have not asked why it's said. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, men have been led astray, kept in cages, prison houses, and bondage, and not discern, my brothers and sisters, the way in which they could otherwise find at one moment with the One Most High. Let's look at something, my brothers and sisters. Malachi. Well, let's see. Let's simplify it even more. The book of Jude, they called Yehuda. They called Jude, book of Israel, Yehuda. Reads this way. Reads in this manner. Yehuda, the servant, they put down, wow, the name Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, the name Jesus, we've talked about this before. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I've spent so much time on this topic over and over again. Do people really believe that after the anointing or the spirit of Zeus and Isis, any man is set free from the misconceits and vanities of this world? I'm telling you, to the ancient pagan mind of the heathen of the West, this name, Jesus and Christ, that's what it meant. Anointed of Isis. This title, Christ, was after the spirit of all the diverse kings of the world, that they might retain their varying thrones against the authority of him who from on high has given all authority. That said, go forth and teach all nations everything he declared. Baptizing, in other words, purging men of their allegiances to every miscreant standard. By the name and authority of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, petitioning the power and authority of the Spirit by which man might see beyond all their error. Like I said, teaching them to do everything he declared, therefore he being Savior. But to the pagans, this name Jesus Christ, Jesus Christos, wow. Please check out that article on my website I just told you about, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. An article called Yeshua or Jesus, which is the Savior. Please, my brothers and sisters, do yourself that favor. Because believe me, some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truth. Many times, titles and names and scriptures have been shifted by the unscrupulous. Yes, the guilty. So that men reading these things so often consider themselves having attained what in fact they never knew. The very name Yeshua means that he will save his people from their sins. It didn't say leave them to trust in all the separations and hypocrisies and contradictions and debates and doubts of men. It is sin whenever men misread or mistake or misteach or administrate or misexemplify concept of what salvation is. This word Christ, well, pagans had another word that they call favor. And it basically meant that it was favor that no one see or no one declare wicked, whatever wickedness they do. Even in their pagan feast, they said, curses anyone who finds disfavor in that which they do while they work their wickedness. Well, they basically have tried to teach people the Messiah will never come to correct the wrongs, to right the wrongs that men have committed and thought. That means if you have the law and you're left totally to your own discipline, not knowing the righteousness of Yah, guess what? There's no oneness, there's no salvation in it. Scripture says Messiah will come to Bring salvation to those who would turn from transgression, not to those who would maintain it. We need to talk about this, my brothers and sisters. Let's look at this. Servant, how about this, my brothers and sisters? Yahshua the Kurdi, the righteous one. Servant of him who declares righteousness, performs what is appeasing, acceptable unto Yah and the men. And brother of Jacob, to them that are sanctified. How about set apart from the world? I did not say of all its corruptions. Sanctified unto Yah. Set apart from the corruption of this world by Yah, the Father. And therefore to be preserved. How about in the one who declares all righteousness, to turn man away from, to return him and regather him from all the dereliction of duty, the hypocrisy, the divisions of mankind, those who he has called to himself. I did not say leave subject to so many worldly corruptions. It says mercy unto you. Same word for grace. Peace. How about being the opportunity to be made whole? Because the purity and completion offers one choice. Everyone discerning the fullness of his will would have peace. He says, curse is anyone who does not confirm everything written in the book of law to do it. The peace, my brothers and sisters, is having a common sense of agreement as the fullness of what is divine will, so no one is prideful after his own heart. Mercy unto you and peace being love. Love for all that is divine will and purposes, and mutual love for one another unto the fullness of that purpose be multiplied. There must be motivation. Love, my brothers and sisters, is a motivation. It compels a man to be steadfast. Compels a man not to fall short of the tutelage of the Most High that he knows not only he, but the whole world needs. He says, beloved, when I gave all diligence, in other words, he was very zealous, highly deliberate. When he wrote, he's talking about something he wrote to the people before. When I gave all diligence to write to you of the common salvation. Wow. Where is this former book of the Apostle Judah? He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence, that's not the only time Scripture speaks of former books. Other letters to Corinthians are mentioned, to the Corinthians, the Church of Corinth are mentioned. Other letters to the book of Ephesus, to the city of Ephesus are mentioned. Well, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write to you the common salvation, there was need for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. How about the mutual faith? The mutual oneness in Yah transcended all the systemic debates and doubts of this world. To earnest contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Oh, these scriptures are speaking in the time of one of the apostles. And believe me, my brothers and sisters, practically all the apostles were murdered by the time of the fall of Jerusalem. Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Oh boy, it means that already the men have fallen away from faith in the word of Yah, no longer believing purely what is the word and thoughts of Yah, no longer believing what is even the promises of Yah in so many ways, trusting in the ideals of another, being led away like as were Adam and Eve in the garden. They contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We're talking about before the turn of the first century. Where, say, there were a certain men crept in unawares, already come into the church, who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation. In other words, some that would turn men astray. Ungodly men turning, how about perverting even your concept of what is the grace of Yah? After what appeases their own lasciviousness. The grace of Yah reveals the discipline of the Most High, not lawlessness, not man, every man walking after his own undisciplined flesh. The Most High knew that from the time man turned away from his spirit and his discipline, that man left to his flesh would walk after every kind of miscreant lie imaginable, because that is the working of a devil. Man without something to guard his mind and his soul and his spirit, to discipline his mind, to knock him back on the path. Ooh. How many ways can man deviate after the path of destruction? So turning the grace of Allah into lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means man functioning after whatever seems right to his ordinary carnal mind. His own licentiousness, giving himself a license for whatever he feels is right after the filthiness of his own thoughts, wantonness, unruliness, lawlessness, and denying the only, they put down here, Lord Yah, how about the only way that is true unto him? How about after? Ultimately, what is the instruction? The one that was called the righteous one, the Kurdi, Yeshua, who said, I'm the written offspring of David, the bright morning star. Morning star in his arising, my brothers and sisters, reveals the light the world did not know. Our world had fallen from, fallen into darkness. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. If you don't know what I'm talking about here, please go back and read that article on my website, hiddengospel.com, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. And understand what these scriptures are talking about. So in Yehuda, he said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Most High, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them who believed not. It means you go back after the ways of Egypt, going back in the darkness, falling away from the expectation that has been dictated, must be common to all his people. He did not say that was unto life, but unto destruction. And the angels even, which kept not their first estate, whatever, our angels, rulers, whatever, but left their own habitation, he has reserved for everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. Shall men say, my brothers and sisters, that man turned away, still to be kind of wise? Even in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and giving over after strange flesh, are sent forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile after the flesh, despise what is divine dominion, speak evil, it means of divine dignities. And even Michael, the archangel, when contending with the adversary, disputing about the body of Moshe, we can talk about that too. After Moses, Moshe perished, there was an argument who should take his body. All this is written back in the books of the law. Even Michael, the archangel, did not dare bring a railing accusation, not merely after his own heart then, but says the Most High, according to all that is his will, rebuke thee. But these, some people, my brothers and sisters, not understanding what they reprove, not knowing good nor evil, not knowing truly what either is, speak evil of those things which they know or discern not. What they know naturally, after the short-sightedness of the flesh, is brute beasts. And these things they continue to corrupt themselves. How about not knowing the righteousness of Yah? It says, woe unto them, for they've gone the way of Korah, gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Much to talk about that. Sometimes if anybody wants to ask, we can go through that a little further, but I got a lot to talk about tonight. All these are talking about various rebellions of men. These are spots in your feast of charity. In other words, if they come together and feast with you, they're not functioning after the fullness of divine will, and they cause corruption. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, how about saying that they are wise of their own hearts, irreverent against the greater righteousness of Yah? Clouds, false messengers, if you will, without water. Cared about over winds. In other words, every fundamental false doctrine. Trees whose fruit withers. Nothing they bring forth is worthy. Thou fruits twice dead, plucked up by the roots. But here's the verse I want to get to. They're like raging waves of the sea, foaming in their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam. Wow, please check this out. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Most High comes. Talk about in the last days, with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly, how about who thought they were godly? Remember what's written in Isaiah 41?
Convince that all that are ungodly, hey, convinced after ungodliness, convince them against all their ungodly deeds, thoughts, doctrines, which they have ungodly committed and conceived, and all their hard speeches. How about all the false doctrines which ungodly sinners, not discerning their unrighteousness? Like I said, they argue against what they don't understand nor discern. And at the end of the day, if they haven't discerned all that is righteousness, compare all things according to what the fullness of righteousness is, hey, they just contend against one another only to fall again, victimized to what is not victory. It says the Messiah will come then, my brothers and sisters, to reprove all this ungodly doctrine, be thoughts, misadministrations. Has that by and large been what's taught in your churches today? If not, my brothers and sisters, without that expectation, men have wanted to call themselves wise after whatever. That's not the grace of Yahweh, brothers and sisters. In fact, that's a falling away from it. The book of Malachi makes it plain another way. The book of Malachi, particularly I'm going to start around about 2:17. In the Aramaic, it reads more like this wise. It says, you've wearied or dishonored the Most High with your words. Remember he says he's going to reprove men for all the ungodly words, doctrines. So you've wearied, dishonored, misrepresented, vexed, seek to blaspheme even against the authority of the Most High with your words, with your doctrines. Did you say, wherein have we wearied him, dishonored him? Sought to demote divine authority? Wow. When you say everyone who does evil is good in the sight of the Most High, oh, by his grace, somehow everybody is okay, huh? According to their differences? You say that everyone that does evil, deviated, undisciplined, manner, thoughts, words, deeds, you say it's still good in the sight of the Most High and he's enlightening them? And then say, where is the God of judgment? This is what they put in your King James Version. But the Aramaic says, you say, where is the Holy One who would judge according to righteous judgments? As if no one will come to judge them according to the fullness of divine righteousness, and everybody is acceptable according to whatever seems right in his own heart. My brothers and sisters, these scriptures are actually saying it will get to a point, and it is here, that men have not considered the Messiah will come to reprove mankind in all his institutions and allegiances, for wherever his allegiances and his trust have been unto the preservation of any man's corruptions. They didn't teach you that, my brothers and sisters, that you should have that expectation, that you should know what he meant when he said your righteousness must exceed, your comprehension and obedience to the law and the prophets must exceed that of all your leaders, else you shall not enter the kingdom of Yah. Guess what? They left you subject to all the differences of man and far from faith. And my brothers and sisters, since the Holy Spirit brings these things to remembrance, the question I ask is, how have men said, constantly forgetful of these things, that it's been by the grace of Yah? All these contentions and contradictions are out of forgetfulness by the grace of Yah? He said, have I for a long time been silent since you do not revere me? My brothers and sisters, if man would have been hearkening to the discipline of the Most High, he would respect and know how to respect a word from the Most High when he hears it. But all the prophecies say that man in the latter days has gotten so far away from the truth that when they hear the word, very few will discern that word as righteousness. They must obey. So the Messiah comes for the refreshing restoration of all things. According to all the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet since world began. And whoever will not hearken to that prophet or his testimony that takes into consideration all these things, could say be cut off from among the people. That sounds like that is a testimony that must be revered. But it says, people say, where is the Holy One who would judge according to righteous judgment as if he does not come? Say, behold, I will send my messenger. He'll prepare the way before me. Oh, Most High has to send one saying, comfort ye, comfort ye, O my people, for the kingdom. How about the prince? Is near to come. Because nobody else would say that they need to repent, seek what is the oneness of Yah beyond all the variant
miscreant fleshly standards of men. Like I said, 1 and 1 through 11, book of Jacob, they call James, says the same. Because everything after the mind of the mere flesh, undisciplined flesh, is like the grass that withers away when a hot wind of the rebuking spirit of the Most High falls upon it. He said, behold, I will send my messenger, and he prepared the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek, he for whom you are waiting, all the one who will rebuke all sin, the one who reproves all the rulers, even the pastors, priests, rabbis, and elders. Same one spoken of in Isaiah 40:27-41:4. The Most High would give all these kings and rulers as dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow. The one that the Most High calls like the sword of the Most High. Yeah, it will smite all your shepherds, wherever they've been treacherous against the word of Yah. He says, your son had come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, one who declares the covenant truly as it is, beyond all the miscreant standards of men. Behold, he for whom you should delight, the one in whom he says his soul delights will come. Behold, he shall come. Who can abide the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? He is like refiner's fire. He purges out every bit of corruption. Like full of soap, washes away every uncleanness, even every unclean thought and deed. Rebukes it all, just as a refiner and a purifier of silver. In other words, all that will remain is what is 100%, if you get my point, gold, silver. So purify the sons of Levi. In other words, if, hey, if there's anything there that is not right, it won't remain. He said, destroy the temple, those who taught the ways of foreign gods. Purify the sons of Levi and purge them, and purge the priesthood until nothing is left but what is an offering that would bring forth an offering of the Most High and righteousness, pleasant. And then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant, appeasing unto the Most High as of old as in former years. My brothers and sisters, the scriptures going on and say this one will be a swift witness against those who have lied to the people. Sorcerers, they call them. How about those who use trickery to keep the people trusting in illusions, trusting in a false covenant, adulterers, causing people to swear falsely, not truly, into all the Most High says that we must abide in, because his name declares he is all that he is. Against those who oppress the hireling of his wage, in other words, rob the people, saying they're teaching them about what's necessary for them to ultimately, you'll find what I mean in a minute, return, and teaching them nothing. Oppressing the hireling of his wage, robbing the hireling of his wage, the widow and the fatherless, just having no mercy on anyone, and would turn aside the stranger who would turn toward what is right. Remember those scriptures talk about the system? Isaiah 59, those who turn toward righteousness turn away from evil. The system seeks to make a prey. Well, guess what? A lot of times you start talking about the exceeding righteous beyond what is being taught in the churches. Hey, they want to kick you out of there real quick in a hurry. Believe me, I know. Leaders don't want it exposed before their congregations, how they've been treacherous against the forms of covenant, even though that's what the Most High sends prophets, that men might discern what others would not speak. They turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, says the Most High. He said, I change not, therefore, you sons of Jacob. It's just an idea of, hey, well, how does the problem exist? Men just have not turned away from their iniquities. Even from the days of your father, he said, you've gone astray from my ordinances. Have not discerned what his ordinances are truly. Because guess what? Everybody reading the book and getting a different idea. That's not the ordinance of the Most High. Even from the days of your father, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I return unto you, says the Most High. But you ask, wherein and how shall we return? My brothers and sisters, if we continue to read these scriptures in Malachi, it talks about one who, because he shall come, reproving all those who thought in their provocation that they were acceptable. He says, because of him, it says in 3:18, you will discern the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve Yah and those who serve him not. And the wicked should be ashes on the soles of the feet of the righteous in the day that he should do this. He says, one come forth, he calls the righteous one like unto the rising sun, the son of righteousness that arises with healing upon his lips.
will declare a word to heal his people, that they no longer are divided by those who preach the words of corruption. They keep the people from ever discerning what is atonement. The scripture says, and you shall go forth like the calves of the stall. The one who they speak of, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 44 says he is the one who will regather Israel. Isaiah 49 says the same, that he is the one who will regather Israel. Revelation 7:2 says he is the one who has the seal of living Yah, means he knows the covenant, but whereby men shall be surely true, made true unto Yah. He is even he who Messiah Yeshua at Revelation 22:16 says that he is. If they didn't teach you, my brothers and sisters, how the people of Yah shall return unto the Most High as one. If they didn't teach you the secret city prophecies. If they didn't teach you about the one called Kurdi, who Messiah said he is. If they only taught you this concept of a Savior whose grace only allows perpetual confusion and corruption. Guess what? They never taught you the gospel, and they taught you to trust in confusion. From the time you're a little child, they want to tell you in that little nursery rhyme, crime. The way they teach it is crime. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me, when is man going to learn how to love Yah? Scriptures tell us well that he says, he does not desire the death of the wicked, but that men should turn from their evil way and live. He so loved the world, he saw it rampant. He said he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him. How about an opportunity to return unto righteousness? Would not perish. Most High has promised the world at peace. There are those who might not quite comprehend what I'm talking about when I talk about the secret city prophecies, but in 16th chapter, around 11th verse of Isaiah, the scriptures talk about that city that the Most High will send Messiah to reprove the world, one after all the corruption of the world. And the Most High knew in advance how hard-hearted man had become, how prideful man has become, that he said that there's a great city that will be destroyed, many thousands perishing because of what has to happen there. To tell the whole world that this confusion will be tolerated no more. This misrepresentation of the Most High will be tolerated no more. But that verse says, ultimately my heart springs so well for the men of Kir Hares, city of destruction. Meaning that this is not what the Most High wants to do. But long ago, understanding the hardness of men's hearts and how most are so heavily derailed by their rulers to call themselves wise after allegiances to systems which would never, ever, and could never fully appease the Most High, he knew exactly what he would have to do to get people's attention. They called it Memorial Day. My brother says, what have men fully remembered? As if the world began with the U.S.? As if this country was somehow a remembrance of all the Most High had intended humanity for from the beginning? My brothers and sisters, I see everybody's different ideologies the world over, which can only be an obstacle, a veil against man understanding that initial context. Being what men are compelled to conform to in this nation, and so many others like it. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, if they didn't tell you what to expect beyond all your rulers, or who would come to conform mankind again unto at one mint, and therefore forgiveness for the sin of Adam. Hey, turning away from the Most High, trusting in the words of another, or the imagination of one's own heart. If they haven't told you what the Most High said that he would find as a vow worthy unto him, that you receive the kind of inspiration from his spirit to be fully conformed and made whole again,
Y'all never miss allegiance. If they didn't tell you what that was all about, my brothers and sisters, it's almost as if saying if you were to receive the Holy Spirit because you never exercised it fully, it's a waste of time. I know it sounds hard to say that, my brothers and sisters, but I pray that many whom the Most High has put His Spirit upon and begun to show them something, that it prepares the heart to receive the one who He said He would send. That expectation, knowing to look beyond all the misconceits of the world, is the utmost blessing. Knowing that your deliverance is in looking beyond, asking the Most High to let you see beyond all these differences. Think about it. That gains the favor of Yah, because it means you know that He is one and not divided after the destabilizing influences of men. That gains the favor of the Most High, because that means you know to trust Him beyond all men. He says it's better to trust in Yah than to trust in princes, because the princes and the rulers, those who have built your temples and your various governments, the scripture says there's a cornerstone they all have rejected. But that cornerstone will be the chief stone of evidence upon which all this world is reformed and brought to the way again to the way of righteousness. If your leaders to keep you in bondage have not told you this, who have they served? I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. Mass misrepresentation, whereby men have trusted only what is the machination of intruders, has been the damnation of many souls for many generations. And my brothers and sisters, the scripture says that him whom man has misrepresented is not going to be happy or pleased in any way with what men have done. Because he intends to take back a reverence for his true identity as King of Kings, Him whom the Most High has declared His heir, to give discretion and salvation again to a world. And scriptures talk about a great time of vengeance, my brothers and sisters. The king's running for cover when the day of his wrath has come, because they know what kind of misrepresentation they have performed. I'll tell you about this. Read Revelation 6:12-7:17, 16:12-21. My brothers and sisters, you know what kind of great sin it has been? That men have misrepresented salvation and lead people astray under the abject spiritual murder of men for many, many, many thousands of generations. And the Most High is going to pour wrath upon a generation in a very short time for all the anger that He has felt and being lied against for a very long time. There's a reason why the scripture says, come out of all my people, lest you become takers of a sin spent by plagues. Because if you realize just how grievous the sin has been of your rulers who sought to hide this truth from you, my brothers and sisters, to still side with that immense treachery, murderous larceny against the name of the Most High. For anyone to want to preserve the ways of that wicked social miscoalescence they call the city in Numbers 24. Please read that article, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. Anyone who will seek to preserve and maintain men remaining blind to this massively damnable scheme. But brothers and sisters, you need to ask yourself, what do they deserve? It says, come out of all my people, that you be found partakers with our sins and be smitten by our plagues. For when this system of lies is destroyed, Most High said He has reaped His vengeance upon her, for in her has been found the blood of all the prophets and saints and all who dwell on earth. But brothers and sisters, all who have been slain to fall short of the mark
And even those who did, that it sought to slay, have reaped death
in so many ways at the hands of a system that despised divine righteousness, controlled the hand of an adversary. And my brothers and sisters, the beginning of being restored to the faith of the Most High is understanding that only one way is a door unto salvation, and that all these corruptions are not worthy of his name. Man has to learn to love the name of the Most High more than he loves himself. Got news for you. And I'm going to tell you this point and point blank out. For I knew the Most High was about to guide my heart. He allowed me to see third heaven, where he dwells, what that kingdom works like. Then you know real quickly what he intends to see made manifest in this earth. And I knew at that moment, immediately, that my thought forms, which had never even been considered as such glory, were by no means worthy. But I got news for you. Upon discerning that lack of worthiness and desirous that it be, whether I could be a partaker of it or not, Most High told me something. He said if I could show that kind of devotion, say the kind of things that I said in recognition of that, he said, if I could show that kind of devotion, not be concerned about myself, but more concerned about what he finds pleasing, he told me my son is going to be all right. How should man, my brothers and sisters, preserve after the short-sighted vanity, irrationalities, the undisciplined thoughts of his flesh? Seek to preserve them in any way. And say he is ready to be called true to all the Most High says that he is, and he desires of his people that they might be after one common mutual sense of salvation, wholeness, and completion and purity. One, how should men, my brothers and sisters, after all these differences, say that Yah will be pleased when they are the result of deviation? Grace and Yah, my brothers and sisters, is the opportunity to be conformed. What the Most High declared from the beginning, when Scripture said, by grace through faith are you saved, that we may be his workmanship, after that which he has declared from the beginning. Discerning what is the covenant of the promise, what he has promised to uphold as a covenant, as a mutual standard for the commonwealth of the kingdom he seeks to establish. He says, my brothers and sisters, that's the grace of the Most High, that by faith beyond the system of this world, you seek that righteousness. He said, if you're strangers to this, you're without hope, without Yah, far from the Savior, the Kurdi, and in the world. Your leaders have led you astray not to discern any of this in the fullness of its context. Should men say that was the grace of Yah? My brothers and sisters, when you begin to realize what Messiah meant, and so your righteousness to see that of your leaders, then when you begin to open your mind to let the Most High teach you. He said, the Apostle Shaul himself said, I know nothing of which I am guilty, but I might not be right in this. But he said, my judge he was ultimately speaking about Messiah coming. He said, you belong to Messiah, Messiah belongs to Yah. He reveals all those things that men are not considered. How about exposing every sin and teaching again the fullness of righteousness? The Scripture says, Shaul said, I know nothing which I'm guilty of, falling short. But I might not be writing this, but he said his judge, the Messiah, comes to reveal these things. And then, when he does so, should every man know what it is to praise Yah, to know what is truly honorable, what honors him. If men have considered themselves wise before the time, and they were warned against this, complete and sufficient before the time, after the dictates of men, the brethren says, who have men called Savior? Can we speak again, my brothers and sisters? It's been Idim Yah, the Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I can only say to you again, my brothers and sisters, to his might and his honor, and his praise always, thanking the Most High for every ear that he brings near. The rational soul will understand these things and understand the equity and the justice that is in them. Not thinking that the grace of Yah, by the grace of Yah, will the Most High ever rob himself. In fact, the soul that is receives His grace and is grateful, my brothers and sisters, will not seek to rob the Most High at all, but will simply seek all the Most High desires. So the Most High show favor upon that which will deny His people peace? Think about it. So we speak again, my brothers and sisters. This is Menedimiah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To His might, to His honor, and to His praise always, thanking Him always for His kindness, showing us the way to return to Him. Hallelujah! And again, I thank you all again for listening.